there are so many women out there that are taking a stand against gender inequality and are paving the way for the future generation. Ordinary women that are creating a more inclusive and powerful society, free from stereotypes, racism and sexism. And I'm here to share their stories with all of you. Stay tuned, because this is WEN Power, your source of inspiring, powerful and positive stories. And I'm here to discover how we can change the narrative, one story at a time. I am your host, Ilaria Biancacci, journalist and founder of WEN Power. Hello and welcome to a new episode of WEN Power Podcast. We are here today with Emma Kay. She's the founder of WorkSafe, the leading personal safety app on the market that helps women to choose the safest route to their destination. And I am so excited to have Emma here today. First of all, I heard her speech at Ideas Fest and I thought, I need her on my podcast. And then we interview her for our website. And again, I was even more impressed with her story and journey. And that's why I invited her to come here today to tell us a little bit more. So welcome, Emma. And thank you so much for being with us today.
Not at all. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So I take you straight into the interview. And there is a question that I like to ask to all the women that come on my podcast. And it's, what is that you're fighting for today, Emma?
I feel that it's quite simple. It's for people to feel safe on our streets. I think that sadly this is a urgent and pressing issue with the clock change, the cost of living crisis. More and more people, probably more so women, are being forced onto our streets, and we are unable to get a taxi or even pay for sky high trains. So we're walking, and that puts us at risk. So what I'm fighting for at the moment is for safer streets for everybody, because basically our personal safety is a basic human right, and it's something we all deserve to feel.
This is so great. I mean, many of the things you just said in this introduction, they really relate to me. I remember just a few weeks ago, I think I was in central London. I wanted to go back home and I couldn't find an affordable Uber for me to go home. Buses were packed. And the only option was for me to walk a few blocks before I could actually try again Uber and have a reasonable price. And that's, for me, it's insane, you know. They want us to go out. You know, and you want to go out, you want to spend time with your friends, or maybe you even finish work late, and then there is not a safe way for you to get back home. So what you're doing, it's great. And WEN Power, we support you in this fight, which I think is something that, you know, all of us, we need to do together. I am one of those that always ask my female friends, text me when you get home. I feel like there is much that we still need to do on this topic, and we need to get governments involved, council, local authorities, because it's something that just on our own we will not be able to tackle.
100%.
What is that you are passionate about? What drives you, Emma?
Good question, because it's not simple. I'd probably say it's evolved and changed the more I've done this. When I started, it was to create something that was free and the world would benefit from. And now we've evolved and the business has changed, and what people have wanted from us as a business and me has changed. And that's led me to now be more passionate in another area. So we've got our B2C app, which is our WalkSafe app. We've got our safety seminars, which I'll get into in a minute. And then we've got our WalkSafe for Business app, which we're launching in a couple of months. And I really feel passionately these days about businesses doing their part to keep people safer. I think it's gone are the days where people just think about their safety on a Saturday night after the pub. I think it's multifaceted. It's going to, you know, after work and you want to go for work drinks, whose duty of care are you in? Are you in yours? Is it still work? Is it, there are so many grey areas. People have to travel for work. People are lone workers. There are so many different types of working, commuting and living our lives. And I think that businesses should be held accountable and recognise their role and responsibility to their employees. So I think that's driving me at the moment, because I feel quite passionately about it, and I think it's something that I'm starting to see tide changing in.
I think this was actually the topic of the panel at the Ideas Fest where you were talking, and it really I was really curious because, you know, as you said, it's not something that maybe people they do associate necessarily, like your personal safety when it comes to work, and you know, where is the boundaries, when is it's not work anymore, so I do take care of it personally, and when it's actually still responsibility of the employee. And I think this is actually something with a big potential, and we need to raise a bit of awareness. And I want to know your light bulb moment. So when did you decide, I want to do this, I want to launch Walk Safe?
Good question. So I think it was really, we had a conversation around the dinner table with my mother, father, and all, because it started as a family-run business. We're now bigger than that. We're now a team of 11 and growing, which is amazing. But it was around the dinner table and just sharing my own personal experiences with my husband and his family. So there's, you know, two boys and my mother and father-in-law. And I think just listening to them just kind of not be able to relate to what I was saying. I suppose my experiences as a girl growing up and walking myself to and from school compared to them as two boys, that they just couldn't really believe what I'd gone through. And I think it was off the back of that that my brother-in-law is very techie, and he was the one who could do some of the coding and that sort of side. And I came on board to kind of do, I suppose, more of the features, what I would have liked to have seen in the app. And yeah, it kind of just went from there. It was really born out of a desire to help and change. And at first, I think it was as well, we were really conscious of people going to new cities, and or we had students and people like that in mind. So say when you get off a train station and you've never been to that part before, where are the safe spots? We were trying to give people that heads up of where the recent crime had been, so they could perhaps avoid it and give them that head, you know, that preventative measure. But obviously, like I said, it's evolved since then. But that was our light bulb moment, and it was really also having children, like having a daughter and looking at her and just thinking, I still think it now, like I just don't, the world just feels so scary sometimes. And I think that if we start having these conversations now and we're starting to turn the tide on it, then perhaps things could be different for her and him and my son. But yeah, I suppose it's all of that put together is what kind of made Walk Safe.
And I think that many of the people that are listening to this podcast today, they will relate to this so much, you know, having to have this conversation with some male peers and understand how different the experience has been and how they can, you know, the two cannot actually really relate to what you went through. And you know, I actually met a friend a few nights ago, and my GPS was telling me to go through a park. It was around Southwark, and you know, the shortest way was to cross. It was a tiny park and nothing major, but it was like, go that way. And obviously I didn't. I went all the way around, which obviously led me to get late to the appointment. And I say, I'm really sorry, but you know, I just get lost because I didn't want to follow the route that took me to the park. And this male friend of mine told me, yeah, well, why didn't you just go through the park? And I say, well, no, really not. It's
but this is exactly something we did with Walk Safe. When we created our Walk Safe feature, which you put in your A to B journey, we made sure when we coded it that you cannot go through a graveyard or a park. So actually route you around parks and route you around these places for exactly that reason. What woman in her right mind would want to go through a pitch black park alone? I mean, and I do think you hit the nail on the head so nicely there. It's just like that difference between a male and a female, or you know, just or however one identifies. I just think there are real disparities around how we feel and how we feel safe and what we would do, what risks we would take as a woman versus what men do. I mean, exactly like what you just said, my husband will go for a walk and at like 10 p.m. at night if he's been working in his office all day, and he sets up his home safe with me, but I wouldn't do that, for instance. I manage my risks all the time, and I just think they don't have to do that as often, if at all.
Yeah, it's the same for me. You know, working from home, now it's pitch dark at what time? 5, and you spend the whole day on your desk and you want to go for a walk, even if it's 6, 7, 8, it's already like really dark and people, it's winter, there are less people on the street. So I just go to the gym and walk on the treadmill because that's the safest option. Although maybe when I was younger, I wouldn't mind. Not that I wouldn't mind, I would be like a little bit more naive and just I'll go because there was not so many risks out there and I was living the life in a different way. Now I'm really concerned and I'm like, okay, no, it's 8 p.m. I walk on the treadmill or even if I just need to go around in my flat, that's what I'm going to do rather than going out or with someone, not by myself. So it's, and these different perspectives are the one that helps you to design something that is also understandable by the wider audience, but also initiate a conversation and a debate that I think it's really interesting and put people, you know, you put yourself in another person's shoes and maybe perhaps you will understand even your friends, your college friends, universities, younger generation as well, like you said, moving into a new city and they don't know from where to start, where to go, what is safe. So it's for me, it's a very important tool. I wish it was there when I was younger as well. It would have helped some
some.
And I was reading some interviews you've done already previously, and you said that the happiest moment or the biggest achievement for you would be also if the moment where we don't need walk safe anymore, which, you know, is your business, is your baby. So somehow you don't expect a business owner to say something like that. But in this context, this is actually has a completely perspective.
I say that quite a lot, that I feel that I wish we are the app that shouldn't have to exist. And it always makes me feel quite bittersweet when someone downloads it because I think, awesome, you know, I love that people are supporting and using it. At the same time, I'm like, why are they supporting and using it? It's because they don't feel safe. So it's always that double-edged sword, first of all. And second of all, exactly that. If one day we weren't needed and my job and the app become redundant, then that'd be fantastic. That's ultimately what we're driving for, is for everyone to feel so safe that they don't have to have these digital tools, that we don't have to feel this way, that people can walk on the streets alone and feel that, you know, nothing will happen to them and they feel safe. And sadly, that's just not where we're at right now. But naively, maybe in the future, I feel we could get there. But it's going to take a huge effort from a range of people. Like you touched on earlier, we need legislative change through our government. We need police forces to start treating victims the same across all of their boroughs. I mean, for instance, Manchester Police don't record their data in the same way that all the other police forces do. This has been the case for the last 3 years. So actually, if you're in Greater Manchester and you wonder why there are no crime icons on your WalkSafe map, that's not because of us. That's because they just don't report it in the right way, or report it at all. So I think there are so many things that need to be done. The one thing I would say that is good and I need to recognise is Sadiq Khan, the London Mayor's new Have a Word campaign. He created a film to tackle misogyny and sexist comments that start within sort of school, secondary school age, and trying to educate young men. And already it was widely received. The campaign was excellent already. I actually know the people created it from Ogilvy. It really focuses on the predator rather than the victim, which I think was quite a first, because usually when we get marketed these campaigns, it always is aimed at the victim. So first of all, that was a real first. And then second of all, it just shows that the education that is starting to happen is happening throughout early years, it's happening throughout primary, and now it's double pronged in secondary. I know we've already got PSHE and relationships and sex ed, they do. And now we've got that on top. I really feel like we're really starting to make strides there, which is fantastic. So that is some positive news. But yeah, I think we just need so much. And I think the other thing you touched on earlier is just the fact that because of COVID, more people are walking, but also because of COVID, we've got a backlog within our criminal justice system. We've got, you know, so much that, you know, if you, God forbid, had to go to trial now, I think the wait would have been like 2 to 3 years. Now it's something more like 3 to 4, perhaps even 5. Plus they had a strike. So I think, you know, it's just quite worrying that if you had anything happen to you, whether or not people even report these things, which they should always, whether or not you'd even seek that justice. And I think that's what I feel like really needs to change quite quickly.
Mm. And the picture you painted, it is a bit bittersweet in the way that we do have some resources and some strategies in place, but perhaps it's not enough for us to tackle this issue in a shorter time, because obviously changes takes time, but in a more efficient way. And you mentioned that there is a lot going on in schools, and I think with education, that's the first, you know, is the basis, and we need to cover from that and just not talk about referring to victims, but like you say, you know, reframe the whole narrative so that, you know, you have a better understanding of what's actually happening through all your stages at school and growing up. And I don't know, I think about any extracurricular activity as well that the kids are doing. So the way how we can implement safety and learning about safety in all the areas where young kids are involved, because then they will become adults and they need to be responsible. So I think to educate adults now is a little bit more difficult. Mm-hmm. Actually, we do with the younger generation. We might achieve better results if we focus on that. And being a business owner as well, and you know, you with your platform, you've been under the spotlight a lot, especially recently when there have been a lot of talks as well regarding to, you know, time changing is darker, increased cost life, and you know, all the interview you release, and you are a leader in your field. And my question here is, how did you learn how to navigate leadership in this sense, and what are some of the things that you learned and some of the challenges that you had to face?
So what I think I might start with first of all is, I suppose, the challenges and how I felt. First of all, I felt, because I'd never been in tech before, I had previous businesses that I'd run. I had a successful beauty business where I did like Z-list celebrities and things. I've always been quite entrepreneurial. I've always had my own things going on. So that part was never hard for me. What was hard was to go from being in quite female dominated industries to all of a sudden quite a male dominated industry, and then being sometimes the one that I felt that didn't have the credentials to speak up in a room full of men. And at first I definitely didn't speak up enough, and I was right, and I knew I should have used my voice. I knew some of the things that were going on around me, or that, you know, some of the just the discussions of things perhaps weren't right. And I think at the time I was very new to it, and I felt intimidated, and I definitely didn't feel that I had the ability or that I had the credentials, like I said, so I didn't. And I learned a huge lesson there, that actually I did know what I was talking about, and it took a lot of belief in myself. I had a lot of imposter syndrome going on, where I always felt that unless it was written on a CV, that I'd done a course, that I'd gone to university in this, I couldn't contribute, which now is bonkers. Because if I look at how much I've done over the course of 2 years and what I've crammed in, what I've taught myself, what I've learned, it's quite mind-blowing. So I think sometimes the one thing that I'd like to say, that the challenge was to speak up, to stand in my truth and to say how I felt, because that actually led me to be happier, because I actually then knew that I was doing right by myself internally, right for the business. So I think that was probably the biggest challenge. And of course, navigating motherhood. I was pregnant when we really kicked off WalkSafe. I had a newborn baby. I had to go back at 2 months, which was really hard. I was still breastfeeding, talking to investors, trying to juggle. And, you know, even still now with 2 children and a business, it is full on every day. So I suppose that's always a challenge. But the one thing I feel like now I've gotten a lot more balance. I feel that because I've focused on my strengths, and I'm the first to admit, I am useless with a spreadsheet. I am useless with certain things, but I've got a really solid team around me where we can really draw on each other's strengths, and what one's good at, the other one isn't good at. So I think for me, knowing that what can inspire and what works is me speaking authentically, speaking about things I feel passionate about, and really stepping into the CMO role, which felt really natural for me. And I wasn't going to try and force myself to be in operations. That didn't quite feel right. So I think just standing in what feels natural for you and not trying to tick a box or be what someone else wants you to be. I think you're always doing what feels right and authentic and genuine, because then more people will resonate with that rather than you just trying to be something you're not. I don't know if I answered that question right. I can't remember. I think it was challenges and
No, you did perfectly. Actually, I wanted to tell you, do you have any advice? But, you know, by just talking about your experience, I think everyone that is listening right now, you know, had took some notes on what you can do to be to overcome some of the challenges that you might face, whether if it's, you know, leadership or even being at work and sitting, be part of a boardroom where you are the only woman there, or you want to, you know, learn how to stand strong and speak up and not be afraid. Because sometimes as women, we are a lot in our heads, and we tend to judge ourselves a little bit too much compared to our male counterpart, and that is what is blocking us to progress sometimes. So it's really important what you just share, you know, just don't be afraid. And it's sometimes we know that we know. It's just we are so scared, and there is no need to be scared. But it's also true that the culture that we're facing is not ready yet for this kind of, for these women. Yeah. They like to stand strong at all and say what they're thinking. So it's a challenge that everyone is facing, and it's beautiful that we share, you know, way of overcoming. So thank you very much for this. We touched a little bit before. Tell me a little bit more about them. Future project for WalkSafe.
Very excitingly, we've got our WalkSafe safety seminars that are run by former Scotland Yard detectives. They're amazing. And the one thing we found over the course of our journey was people wanted me to speak about personal safety. Now, however I can give my perspective and what I've experienced, I don't really feel I'm able to give a professional sort of take on that. And that's where we found that we actually needed to have more experts. We do have three senior detectives on our team, former detectives. Now, they are able to share a lot of their advice. And I think that the safety seminars have been a huge hit. We've had FTSE 100 companies who've been involved. We have got a online version, which is around about an hour, and we've got an interactive version. Now, we keep it the two options, but we always try to have one female, one male officer present for the training. And that's because when one's speaking, one wants to observe the room to make sure no one's triggered, that if they need extra support, they're trained in how to help and support victims, and they're able to adjust and, you know, constantly recalculate how they deliver this training. It isn't just a PowerPoint and we talk about this. We're very aware it's a subject we need to be hyper-vigilant on, and one that everyone's their own experiences on. So you know, they're very passionate about it, and we love that they're so well trained. So we feel that it can deliver some like top tier, excellent hands-on interactive training. And then we've also got our WalkSafe for Business platform. So another thing we found, again, going back to sort of the things you learn throughout the year, there was a lot after the tragic death of Sarah Everard, there was a lot of businesses, hairdressers, gyms, that were walking young girls who were locking up at really unsociable hours to their cars at night, and they felt unsafe. So someone was walking into and from. Now, however admirable that is, that's not very sustainable. And that was where we thought, you know what, the girls and, you know, a lot of our users have got our app. Why don't we create a web app where managers can oversee, or staff can oversee their employees' journey. So if anything happens, they've got their contact details, they've got their in case of emergency details, they've got a direct line into the nines, and they can quickly assist. We also have an option for it just to be managers or co-workers, or we can tailor it, and there could be a call center, so you have that end-to-end sort of capability. But that is what we're really excited about, because there's just been such a desire for people to, I mean, if you think about it, it makes sense. If you're a young girl, it's 5 a.m, you know your mum's still asleep, your partner's still asleep, there's some creepy guy following you, you want someone to oversee that you're okay, who are you going to call? That's why, if you've also got another colleague who's on the way in and know, or someone who's already at work who can help you, it's just trying to think outside the box of who can help in what given situation, because we understand people in hospitality in the nighttime industry, that they don't really have the same sort of 9-to-5 as other people, which means they've got less chance of someone being around to help them if needed. So that's what we've got coming up, and actually we're really excited to see that launch.
We're almost at the end of the interview. I could stay here to speak with you for hours, but I know that we need to wrap it up. And I have two last questions for you. What advice would you give to your younger self?
I think it still stems from believe in yourself. I think I'm my harshest critic. I talk to myself appallingly, and it is something I'm working on daily. I think I wouldn't talk to other people in the way I talk to myself. And like I said, I struggle with imposter syndrome, and I'm a perfectionist. So the list goes on. So I think the one thing that I'm really working on, and I wish that I had heard more in my life growing up, was that, you know, I'm doing a good job, and to believe in myself. Because I feel like if I had that earlier on, I think I wouldn't be so harsh to myself now. And that's something I'm really working on with my daughter, is always telling her how proud I am, how strong she is, how brave she is, and all those attributes that I feel as women, we just don't hear enough of. So yeah, that's probably my answer to that.
And you say that we don't hear it from ourselves. We are our own, the worst judge sometimes, mm-hmm. You know, you need to speak kindly to yourself, please. Because if we don't do it, no one else will do it for us. So we are the first one. And you remember we started this interview with your current fight. And to sum up this beautiful and inspirational conversation, I want to ask you, what is that you wish to stop fighting for?
I just wish that as women and vulnerable groups, that we could, like I said before, step outside the house and not have to think, you know, have I shared my journey? How am I getting home? Checking my route? Just all of that worry. I think it would be, you know, I'd love to be able to see in the future people genuinely feeling safer and able to not say the clocks have gone back. 15% of people are going to stop walking their dogs. 33% are going to stop going out and doing evening activities. And 23% are, you know, just going to avoid all nighttime, like Christmas activities altogether. I'd love to be able to see those figures disappear and people feel genuinely safer and, yeah, be able to enjoy their life to the full, even when the clocks go back. So, yeah, that's what I suppose my one wish for the future would be.
A beautiful conclusion for the conversation that we had. And is there anything else you would like to add for our audience, where to find you if they want to get in touch with you?
That'd be great. So it's Emma K Walk Safe is my personal account, my Instagram account. I've got walksafe.io, which is our Instagram account, and we've also got that on Twitter. Our website is www.walksafe.io. You'll have a little bit about our business web app and our B2C app. And yeah, I'd love to hear from you. And just thank you so much. It's just been such a wonderful conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I really appreciate your time.
If this was your first time listening to Wempower Podcast, thank you for taking the time. You can find us on Podbean and Spotify. Subscribe to our newsletter on wempower.co. and keep up to date with all the future projects on all our social media at Wempower UK. Thank you to all the women out there that are following and supporting Wempower. I will continue to bring to you powerful, inspiring and positive stories from all over the world. Don't forget, together we empower women. This is Ilaria for Wempower Podcast. Until next time.